Texans and Ravens, not just two red-hot division leaders, but two of the hottest quarterbacks in the game. Deshaun Watson, so good. 18 touchdowns, only 5 picks. And Lamar Jackson, man, turning heads every single week. 15 touchdowns, 5 interceptions, and oh yeah, running for almost 80 yards per game. When asked about comparisons to Deshaun Watson, Lamar said, quote, "I play Lamar Jackson ball. I don't play anybody else's ball." Nick, which quarterback would you rather have, Deshaun Watson or Lamar Jackson?
All right, this is a torturous question because I love Lamar. I love how he's handled himself. I love how he hasn't allowed some of the nonsense surrounding him before the draft to pull him down. And even in the moments where the adults in the room around him seem to be being caught up in the moment, he isn't. There's a great moment this weekend on the sideline with John Harbaugh where Harbaugh grabs him and says, "Because of you, kids are going to be wearing number 8 jerseys for 20 years. And Lamar, the kid, says, "Coach, I'm not worried about that. I'm worried about winning this game." Like, so he's, and I think he is going, I don't know if he's going to be great for a decade, but I'm very confident he's going to be sensational for the next half decade. So I say all that to say this, I'd still take Deshaun. Deshaun was the guy I wanted my Chiefs to draft instead of some kid out of Texas Tech, Patrick Mahomes. Now, I'm very happy with Patrick Mahomes.
Yes.
Deshaun is one of, and you can speak to this far better than I can, Danny, one of the greatest college football players I've ever seen. I don't think it's hyperbole, especially given who he played against, forget the ACC, but in the college football playoff in back-to-back years. And Deshaun has never had a downtick. He was amazing his opening 5 games of his career, pops his ACL in practice. Last year is running for his life at a near unprecedented rate because of mismanagement by the Texans, still drags them to the postseason. And this year, they thought they upgraded the offensive line, kind of, but he's still running for his life a lot. Bill O'Brien's still the guy pulling the strings in an odd fashion.
Don't get you
and
started.
He is spectacular. And so to me, Deshaun is a safer bet, not only long-term, but right now, every single week, I'm confident Deshaun Watson is going to be an A-minus quarterback or above. Lamar this year has had more A-plus moments, but I still feel, and it's not a knock, I still feel this year he's more likely to have a C-minus game out of nowhere than Deshaun, so it's very close, but I'd take Deshaun.
I'm going to go Lamar Jackson. It's no knock against Deshaun Watson. Isn't it kind of crazy where we've come, where when Dabo Sweeney compared him to Michael Jordan, said he had Michael Jordan qualities, we all laughed and said, "Oh, that's just Dabo pumping up his own player." But he's actually probably closer to being right than any 100%. Of us ever would have guessed he would have been. That being said, when I look at Lamar Jackson, I do think somewhat you can game plan for Deshaun Watson in that offense. And I don't care who it is, Bill Belichick, give me your best defensive coordinator. You can scheme up whatever you want for Lamar Jackson, and you might have the perfect defense called because of his escapability, because of his athleticism, because of his speed. You could still be wrong because he's going to make you pay. And that dynamic terrifies every single defensive coordinator. You literally cannot defend it. So I would say from that aspect, Lamar Jackson is more dangerous. He's scarier because if he is having an off day in the pass game, which I do think he's still a little bit erratic, then he can compensate for it with an ability to just flat out make plays.
And Danny, you were on this with Lamar going into the year. Like, I was rooting for Lamar going into the year, but I wasn't yet buying stock. I thought, hey, listen, he was awesome last year in what he did, but the playoff game scared me a bit. Why were you so high on him going into the season, even before we saw that opening game against Miami with the perfect pass?
Because he's a good passer. Like, I don't think anybody gave him credit for what he was doing at Louisville with a coach and Bobby Petrino who was actually challenging him and having have NFL style concepts. And he actually is really accurate with the football in the shorter passing game. If you look at his completion percentage within 10 yards with balls not thrown, 10 yards or closer to the line of scrimmage, he's actually really adept at picking defenses apart, similar to what Tom Brady does. Now, I'm not saying he's Tom Brady yet, but I think he's a natural thrower of the football. And I don't think anybody gave him credit by that because they were so distracted by his insane running ability. Here's the other reason. Do you realize Joe Burrow is incredible, right? The college, the LSU quarterback who was taking the world by storm.
Maybe the number one quarterback in the draft.
Do you realize Lamar Jackson is younger than Joe Burrow?
I know, it's crazy.
Isn't that insane?
2.5 weeks.
Like, I mean, he's still, that's I'm like, we're looking at this quarterback, we're judging him, we're making all these harsh, you know, criticizing comments, and, you know, some people speculated, should he switch positions? I'm like, no, he still has a tremendous amount of upside for where he can go. He's still a baby.
He's 22 years old.
And he's already accomplishing these types of insane things. I do think it is fair to question durability, because we haven't ever seen somebody last that plays the way the game he has. But I think we are in a new NFL where guys that played the game like I did, or, you know, Tom Brady or Drew Brees, I think they are dinosaurs. I think they're extinct. And I think guys like these two quarterbacks that are mobile, that can make plays, but also can throw, are the future of the NFL. Well, that's why I think John Harbaugh was spot on.
I was going to ask you if you factored longevity into you picking Deshaun Watson, just because it's almost the safer pick, if you will. You know, he probably has more staying power.
Except for Deshaun's, obviously, now he's suffered a couple of major knee injuries.
But none of them really were from
not running around,
right.
Agreed. I think that in modern sports, the long view has become overrated.
Yeah.
I think that we are too caught up in, and I'll use this example again. I was honestly a little offended as a sports fan that the reaction to Stephen Curry breaking his hand was, you know what, this is actually good for Golden State, because in 2020, man, what about the right now? Even if they weren't going to be, and it, I don't love that there is some element of Lamar's greatness that always comes with the asterisk, but what's it going to look like in 2026? Man, this Miami might be underwater in 2026. I don't know what the world's going to look like in 2026. I'm worried about what's he going to look like on December 26th. Is his team going to be fighting for the one seed? Like, so yes, Jenna, if this was Major League Baseball and you could offer me a 12-year fully guaranteed contract, I'd be squeamish. But that's not where the world we're in. And right now, they're both great options. I would go with Deshaun, but I'm not going to argue too harshly on Lamar.
It's a fun conversation.
It is.
Really can't go wrong, either one. So here we go. Back here, first things first. We are joined now by Yahoo Sports senior writer Vincent Goodwill.
What up, man?
How you doing?
Good to see you, brother.
Good morning.
It's Daniel,
this is
Danny.
Guys, trees.
I thought I was sitting next to a Spider-Man villain this morning.
Oh, wow. Oh,
I know. You got the evil scientist.
Oh, yeah. Hey, listen, Danny's gear's always fresh.
I try to bring it.
He went no turtleneck today.
That's right.
I'm pretty sure he's paid to wear them. It looks great. Good to see you guys.
All right, here we go, Vinny. Let's talk some Lakers and Warriors. No Anthony Davis for L.A. He was dealing with rib and shoulder injuries. No anybody other than D'Angelo Russell for Golden State. They'll be dealing with that all season. No surprise, the Lakers deal the Warriors a 120-94 beatdown. But the bigger story came before the game when Anthony Davis was asked about being the number one guy ahead of LeBron. Take a listen to what he had to say.
It was tough for me because I've done it in New Orleans, you know, but that's because, like, AD, you have to. You know, now it's like, all right, well, we're going to split this 50-50, you know, and when he came out, like, nah. This is yours. Like, I'll play the second guy. We going through you. And I was like, all right, well. And then there's the Lakers. So now AD comes to the Lakers, bigger spotlight, media is bigger. You know, does AD have what it takes? So I'm like, all right, man. I had to really, like, wrap my head around, okay, this is gonna be a fun year.
Vinny. You really buying LeBron as the number two, Anthony Davis? Okay, so I see, but I know that smile already. I've seen that a couple times this week.
look, that sounds nice. It's a generous gesture, right? But there's no way that if LeBron is as great as we believe that he is historically, and Nick, you believe he's the greatest player ever, I have him at worst in the top five. You can't look through history and say that there's a top five player historically that takes a back seat while in or near his prime. Kareem, Magic, Michael, LeBron, whoever you put in there, there's never been a person who will willingly take that spot back to number two. Now, you can do 1A, 1B like Shaq and Kobe did post their first championship season, but no, and I think here's why I think LeBron said that. Anthony Davis in that same interview said that. Derrick Rose was like a mentor to me. And Derrick Rose is 5 years removed from LeBron James being drafted. So imagine the esteem that he holds LeBron James in. So LeBron had to make sure that from a generational standpoint,
sure,
that he knew that Anthony Davis felt as invested and also as, you know, welcomed in that new environment with all the drama that happened the year before, so that he could be his full self. And LeBron knows that he can't do this for 82 games every night and then 20 games and win a title. He's not at that point of his career anymore, but he's still going to have to be the guy that everything runs through if the Lakers are going to win anything of substance.
All right, so a couple notes here. One is, by the way, shout out to Shams Charania for getting, I mean, that was great stuff by him, and he does a great job in general. And I'm not going to parse with you the Kareem Magic thing, because I feel like there was a brief period where they were both in their prime and someone had to take a back seat. But I get the point, that the overall point that you're making. But this is why LeBron, in addition to top five's generous, into being the greatest player ever, he's the smartest player ever. Anthony Davis needed to hear this. Anthony Davis is not under contract after this season. The Lakers got no play if he walks. Now, he is not going to walk. He is not planning on walking. But neither Anthony Davis nor Rich Paul have ever once said he's a lock to re-sign there. Now, I feel he's a lock to re-sign there because LeBron's going to massage and handle this situation perfectly. And Anthony Davis, by the way, will lead the Lakers in points this year. He will be the focal point scoring-wise of their offense. But, and at one point, because LeBron plans on playing at least this season plus three more, hopes to be four or five more, because he's holding on to the hope he could one day be on the same court as his son, even if it's on opposing teams, he knows what the timeline is. At some point, whether that's year 19 or 20 or 21, he won't be in his prime any longer. He's already extended his prime longer than any player other than Karl Malone in NBA history. But at some point, Anthony Davis will actually be the number one. But right now, he can be the number one in name. LeBron still has to run the team. LeBron James still has to run the offense. And LeBron James still has to run the behind-the-scenes aspects, which a lot of this was. It's the same thing with trying to give him his jersey number. It's these little things to make it clear, hey, man.
Psychological warfare, a little bit.
Warfare is not the word I would use. Psychological, whatever a positive version of warfare
sure,
is. Yeah, because like the where he wants Anthony Davis to feel like, hey, man, you are not Robin. Because Anthony Davis is too good and too young compared to soon-to-be 35-year-old LeBron James to be Robin, even if when we're watching the games, we're like, that dude's Robin. He's an overqualified Robin. And so, yeah, I don't buy it, but I understand why he did it, and I think it was calculated, and I think it's the absolute right move.
Don't you think it's eerily familiar to what D-Wade told LeBron when they had the big three join, and Dwayne Wade said, hey, I'm giving you the keys, man. This is your
after
franchise
run.
Yes, after, and that was when they started to take off. That's when they actually started to win. I think the impact that that had on LeBron, and he saw what that meant for him personally, is probably similar to why he did this with AD, saying, you know what? Because I don't think anybody's going to question who the alpha is in there, who the leader is, who the face of that franchise is, who's going to have their ball in their hands at the end of games. Now, the thing LeBron has always done, he's going to make the best decision, basketball decision, late game situations. So I think from that standpoint, nobody's buying, hey, all of a sudden Anthony Davis is going to be the focal point of this offense just by the nature of positions. But I think this was a significant gesture from LeBron to boost up Anthony Davis's confidence and belief in this team.
At some point, there's going to be, like you said, Nick, there's going to be the day where LeBron is not the greatest. He doesn't take up the most oxygen in the room. And how he adjusts to that is going to play on who plays with him, who plays next to him, and how his career sort of slides on a decline. He's on a decline now, but it's a very slow decline. It's not fast. It's not an Allen Iverson decline.
Right.
It's not a Carmelo Anthony decline where you notice it just being so obvious. So he's making sure that his career extends more and longer than anybody else's.
Nick, I don't understand. Where is Anthony Davis, besides scoring, the number one on this team?
Oh, that's the only place. It's the only place. And he might be, but he has to be able to have a leadership role empowered by LeBron, if for no other reason than age, then because there are Kuzma's going to be the third leading scorer on this team. I don't know if he's third most important, but he's going to be third leading scorer. Kuzma's going to be able to relate a lot more to Anthony Davis than he is to LeBron off the court. Lifestyle. Like, there is the father of three married element of this, and Anthony Davis has to be empowered in all those ways. And I believe the Lakers are going to win the championship this year, and they can win the championship, and I believe will win the championship with LeBron being the best player on their team and in the league. But if they're going to win multiple championships, at some point, it's going to have to be because Anthony Davis is the best player on their team and in discussion for best player in the league. Because Giannis is only getting better. The Clippers, while I'm not as high on them as others, they at least have a three-year window of extreme relevance. I think the Rockets are scary. Luka is coming like a damn rocket ship. Like, these are, and you're right, LeBron is slowly deteriorating. But I mean, if you were at the peak of Everest and you come down a little bit, you're still at the highest point in the world of anybody. So, like, that's where he is, but at some point, he goes down further. And that's when Anthony Davis has to meet him, you know, on his way to the summit. And he can't do that until two things have happened. One, LeBron has empowered him, and two, Anthony Davis has been on a real playoff run. That's the other element of this we have to wait and see, where how Anthony Davis, I think the best version of Anthony Davis we'll ever see will be the beginning of next season. Whether they win the title or not, once he has the real experience of those 15 to 25 playoff games, what it's like in that cauldron, and what he becomes coming out.
Make no mistake, they can't win if Anthony Davis is playing a subservient role mm-hmm. to LeBron. They have to win because he feels like he is on an equal level, if not a higher plane from an all-around standpoint as LeBron. He's going to be the guy defending, blocking shots, setting the defense up. LeBron is not going to play that level of defense, and he's not going to be able to maintain a certain level of play for this entire season and also through the playoff run, Nick. I don't think that we can discount the amount of miles on his body so far and how much that's taken a toll on him to this
point. Same talk you and I had in the beginning. You could be my 1A, I'll be 1, and we move forward. Carolina used their first overall pick on Cam Newton back in 2011, and the hope then was that he'd hoist multiple Lombardi trophies. But 9 seasons later, there's no hardware on the shelf, and Cam is banged up. So it appears as if the Cam Newton era in Carolina has come to a close. Cam is reportedly open to being traded this offseason and would welcome being shipped to the Bears. Nick, can Cam still be a franchise quarterback somewhere?
If healthy, absolutely yes. And I'd be very happy for Cam if he did go to the Bears. Bears fans would appreciate him to a level a lot of the fans in Carolina have not recently, and some have never appreciated him, especially given how good the Bears could be with just an average quarterback. And I believe Cam still has the ability to be a top 10 quarterback in this league. I don't think he's going to win another MVP. I don't think he's going to be a top 5 guy in football, but I think he still has the ability to be a force multiplier, excellent quarterback. I think the Panthers are making a grave mistake. I don't think they have the answer at quarterback. I think they have all the other components of a team that's not should not be rebuilding. You went out and got Gerald McCoy. You have Christian McCaffrey, who is brilliant, but we know how short typically, not always, but typically those running back lifespans are. So you want to take advantage of it right now. But we can't be in a league, in my mind, where half of the league has started multiple quarterbacks, where we are searching for the established veteran quarterback who has not fallen off a cliff, and I don't believe Cam has, and just throw Cam out with the bathwater. Like, I think Cam, prior to the TJ Watt hit, Cam had missed 3 games in his career. In his career, TJ Watt then hits him in the pocket, wrecks his shoulder. He plays through it, maybe to his own detriment because it killed his numbers. Then he missed the very end of last year. Then this offseason, a preseason game, the Patriots, he breaks his foot, essentially, Liz Frank. And so if Cam can't move, Cam can't be Cam. And you saw that early in the year. He will have a year to have recovered from the foot, more than a year to have recovered from the shoulder. And that, to me, is still a top 10 quarterback in football.
Yeah, well, here's the problem, though. Cam Newton, what made him special, that MVP season, was his ability to run the football. Was in short yardage situations, third and fourth down, they were almost unstoppable.
The best short yardage back in football.
Right. And I don't know if you're getting that anymore with Cam Newton because of the injuries that have come into play. Now, if you go out there, let's say you're the Bears and you bring him in there and Matt Nagy says, well, we'll roll the dice. We're going to still use him that way. I do think the injuries have to come into play, and it does become concerning, especially when you look at the Carolina Panthers. Remember, there was the play they ran to Christian McCaffrey, and they were on the yard line going in, and they said, hey, we don't want to run our quarterback anymore. They clearly have seen enough where they're saying, you know what? We don't want to take that risk anymore. It absolutely has to come into the conversation. And if you don't get that Cam, I do have significant doubts about where he is as a top 10. I think top 10 is probably a safe assumption to make, but we haven't seen him perform at that level for an extended period of time without an offense that's calling plays suited to Cam Newton.
I actually totally agree with you that if running is removed from Cam's game, especially the ability to be a four down offense, which is such a weapon. We are, by the way, we're seeing that in Baltimore.
Yep.
There, John Harbaugh gets it. He gets the numbers. He gets the advantage. And when as long as the rest of the league is still going to be caveman football, and it's like, man, it's fourth and one and a half. We got a punt. Then having a team that is built where you know you can go for it on fourth down, which opens up the playbook on third down, because that MVP year, he also was a great deep passer.
Yes.
And so many of those deep shots came on ostensible running situations. It's third and two. But if you know, well, we're going to go for it on fourth and two, you can take deep shots on third and two. But Cam's injuries have not taken place with him trying to be mobile.
Right.
T.J. Watt, he's in the pocket. And the Liz Frank injury in the preseason game, so his offensive line collapses and he gets crushed. So I don't have that level of concern. I do agree that if you're not going to let Cam be Cam, then you can't use him. It's why if you look at Cam's passer rating for his career, you're like, he's always been below average. But that's never been a fair way to evaluate him, because up until last season, he had scored more touchdowns running than any running back in football over the same time period since he's been in the league. He is a dominant goal line and short yardage player. I don't think that goes away. I think it was temporarily taken from him. The reason they didn't run him at the goal line in the game you're talking about is because he was still dealing with that foot sprain or the Liz Frank. If he recovers from that, which I don't think that's a career ender, then I think he's up for the Bears or the Titans, by the way. I think the Titans could use him immediately and be a dangerous football team.
We haven't really talked about, only Chicago is the only team we've talked about. Nick just mentioned the Titans. Are those the two teams you see as possible landing spots?
I think they make the most sense now. There's always a dark horse that could come into play. I mean, I look at what the Chargers are doing with Phillip Rivers and how much older he's getting. I think that could be a potential landing spot. And there's always sort of a team that's out there that you just don't see coming that could possibly be a trade. The problem is, if you trade for him, you get 1 year left on that deal, where I think it probably is a bargain, but then what are you going to get in return of that in the long term? And I think what Cam is going to want and what a team is going to want to pay him are going to be dramatically different. And I think that could be something that prevents him from getting the opportunity he's looking for.
You know what team has a quarterback on an expiring deal that's ready to win right now, whose quarterback's struggling this year, right? The New England Patriots. I'm just saying.
Yep.
It's a true fact that was stated there. Clippers Rockets.
Here we go.
Oh, that was a fun one last night.
Yeah.
Did Kawhi play? I didn't see him much on the defensive end.
Playing Houston last night in a potential Western Conference Finals preview. Kawhi Leonard, Nick, did decide to play. Whoo, Nick was happy.
Yes.
James Harden stole the headlines, perhaps. Also made Nick happy.
Yeah.
The beard went off for a game-high 47 to go along with 6 boards and 7 assists. Rockets get the big win, 102-93. Nick, we'll start with you. Who's better, Harden or Kawhi?
Well, let's think about this.
Okay.
One player has been far more durable. One player has, for a half decade plus, had to carry a team. One player has been, by the people who vote on such things, by all NBAs or by MVPs or by MVP finishes, has been clearly considered the better player. He scores more, he assists more, and yeah, it doesn't matter, he plays a lot more basketball. And that player is James Harden. He was also the far better player last night. And to score 47 with the allegedly the league's best defender guarding him, hold on, I'm sorry, we've What's that? Oh, he didn't guard him. My apologies. Kawhi Leonard was stuck in the corner on P.J. Tucker defensively. Odd place for the two-time defensive player of the year to be. And that was when the Clippers, supposedly the best defense in basketball, weren't in a Jim Boeheim-esque zone defense, which you don't see very often from the best defenses in basketball. But I set that aside. There have been two moments in Kawhi Leonard's career he's been better than James Harden. The 2016 season and last year's postseason. At every other moment, James Harden's been better. Been considered better, has played better, eye test, stat test. Now, I know we are a prisoner of the moment, and the most recent thing that happened is the most important thing that happened. And last year's postseason, Kawhi Leonard was the best player in the NBA. But over the long term or short term, unless we're going tiny term window, Harden's been the better player, and this year he will prove to be the better player.
Your Honor.
Yes.
He just mentioned and threw that out there that Kawhi was the better player last postseason.
Yes.
As if that were 10 years ago, not 6 months ago. Because if we remember correctly, may I approach you like a hostile witness?
Please.
Because that is the way that you are acting.
Go ahead.
It was a 2-2 series between Golden State and Houston last May when Kevin Durant's calf injury first happened, correct?
Correct.
Mm-hmm. Who won game five? I'll answer for you.
Okay.
No. James Harden's team did not win game five.
Correct.
James Harden's team did not win game six on their home floor, again, without Kevin Durant and a Stephen Curry who went scoreless in one half. Okay, fine. Let's take that and move it to the next one. In the NBA Finals, who was the best player on that team on in that same situation?
Kawhi.
Okay. Don't just throw that out there as if it does not matter. You seem to gloss over those facts. You gloss over the fact that Kawhi is a two-time defensive player of the year. You gloss over the fact that Kawhi Leonard is a two-time finals MVP. So when the game matters the most, Kawhi has played the best. Yes, last night you are absolutely correct. When James Harden was not being guarded by Pat Beverly, he was exquisite. When he was guarded by Pat Beverly, he was 0 for 6 with 4 turnovers. Now, we can put that in its own box, correct? Because Kawhi Leonard was supposed to guard him.
Real quick. I just want to make sure I have that right.
Yes.
Because I didn't know that. James Harden last night was 0 for 6 with 4 turnovers when he was guarded by
Pat Beverly. Yes.
And in the game, I'm just looking, he was 12 of 26. So let me do that math real quick. Mm-hmm. So that means he was 12 of 20 with no turnovers when guarded by everyone else. Right? That was what that would mean?
Absolutely.
Math.
Absolutely.
That everyone else includes Kawhi Leonard.
Sure.
Right? He was there. He wasn't load managing. I saw him there last night. And just real quick, you said I'm acting like last year's playoffs don't matter. It is not what I'm acting like. However,
if you are
making the case that Kawhi Leonard has been better than James Harden, you must act like last year's playoffs are the only thing that matters, because going into last year's playoffs, it was a unanimous case. Harden had 4 top 2 MVP finishes. Kawhi had 1. Harden had multiple scoring titles. Kawhi will never have a single one. Harden had led the league in assists. Kawhi is still searching for his first career triple-double and has 1 10-assist game in his entire career. Harden has led the league in minutes and games played. Kawhi Leonard has twice found it within himself to play more than 68 games in a season and never once more than 74. So we can do the last thing that happens the most important. We can't do the last thing that happened is the only thing that happened.
Here's the thing, Nick. You can say Kawhi low manages during the regular season. Mm-hmm. I can tell you when James Harden low manages, June. Because he ain't there. All right?
Correct.
So, and let's go there. If you can talk about MVP finishes, because I voted James Harden twice. You're here.
No.
I voted James Harden twice for MVP, including the year that Russell Westbrook won it. I voted for Kawhi Leonard twice in MVP. I get that. But you can say all those things and historically say that you want Kawhi Leonard on your team because he plays bigger, plays better, plays more complete when it matters the most. That other side of the floor matters. Playing in the NBA Finals matters. When James Harden played in the NBA Finals as a young pup, you know what he did? He went MIA. When Kawhi Leonard played in the NBA Finals as a young pup, you know what he did? He won MVP without being actually the best player on the floor, which says a whole lot.
Yeah, and that's a questionable MVP. First two games of the series.
Of course it is, because LeBron didn't win
it.
LeBron.
I mean, just it should be noted, the first two games of that series, Kawhi Leonard scored 9 points, and it's the second fewest points per game anyone's ever averaged in winning finals MVP.
All right, I think I could be a neutral observer here, right? Because I'm not as anti-Kawhi or pro-Harden. I think I'm a neutral observer in this one. You said prisoner of the moment. I think in today's excited. We are a prisoner of the playoffs, right? And where James Harden has disappeared, that is where Kawhi Leonard has risen to the occasion. There is no doubt James Harden is a better scorer. Like, no one would argue that point at all, but it is, you do play the game on both sides of the court. As you mentioned, I don't love the load management. I think Kawhi Leonard gets way too much credit for last year's finals, and so does load management. If the Warriors, you know, are healthy, I don't think he gets that MVP or the championship. Even that being said, I still think you have more evidence of Kawhi being clutch, being a performer in the playoffs than James Harden ever has. And maybe this is the year that James Harden can close that gap and actually get it done in the playoffs. But until he does, you have to lean with Kawhi.
But here's the reason you don't have to lean with Kawhi. And here's the reason the playoffs can't be all of it. Because as we have seen, Kawhi Leonard cannot single-handedly carry a team in the regular season.
And neither can James Harden.
No. What? We have seen him do it. What are you talking about? Now, by the time the playoffs come around, because he has had to do it, he does appear to be worn out, and his efficiency wanes, and all those things. But we've never seen the counterfactual, which is, could Kawhi do it? Because he's never been asked to. Last year, he was not asked to. In San Antonio, the one year where he was asked to, you know what happened to him in the playoffs? He got hurt.
After they won 67 games.
Yeah, and then that was the one year of his career he was better than Harden. 2016, I concede the point, Your Honor. But then you know what happened to him that postseason? He got hurt. Because you know what? It wears on you over the course
of
the year.
Or Zaza Pachulia like slides under your foot.
Except he was already. Hold on. Except he was already dealing with an ankle injury in that postseason, and you know that to be true. It's just we do this thing. And by the way, Kawhi Leonard, by my math, is, as long as Kevin Durant's out, is the fourth best basketball player in the world. There is no shame in that. But there is at no point in Kawhi Leonard's career were people arguing that he was the best player alive until all of a sudden it became, well, clearly he is. Even during the playoffs, first two rounds of the playoffs, who's the best player alive? Oh, it's got to be Kevin Durant. By the end of the second round, beginning of the third round, oh my God, Giannis is going to damn near sweep his way to the finals. And then it becomes the hottest of hot takes to be like, no, I think Kawhi's a top five guy, but not the best player in the league. And on the defensive point, holding on to Kawhi Leonard's Defensive Player of the Years right now is, to me, a little misleading. It is calling LeBron last season a multiple-time first-team All-NBA defender. It's true, but it's misleading. Because what are we seeing right now? Oh, when you have to be the guy that runs the offense, when you have to be the scorer and the distributor, if you are going to play minutes, now, and Kawhi's doing it while taking games off, you gotta rest sometime. And last night they knew Kawhi was gonna have to do something all the stars in the league do in big games. You gotta play 40 minutes, kiddo. We're gonna need you to play the whole fourth quarter and actually have played a lot of the first three quarters. And if we're gonna need you to do that, stand in the corner and guard PJ Tucker because the offensive end is more important. And because of that, the best player on the court went off for 47. So this whole thing, we kill Harden because for years he has stood in the corner. You know why? Because he's had to do what Kawhi is finally getting a taste of, what LeBron's had to do for 15 years, what Giannis is quietly doing in Milwaukee. So right now, it is still LeBron. Giannis is the only one that's very close, and Harden is scoring on a Chamberlain rate. Kawhi's a great player. We've elevated him to a level he's yet to show us more than for 3 weeks last postseason.
I can't believe I didn't answer my second question, who's better, LeBron or Jordan? But you know what? Man.
You still got the Clippers over the Rockets, by the way, Vinny?
When it matters, absolutely. Okay. Because when the Rockets don't do it,
I'm glad to know last night didn't matter.
Thank you for listening to the First Things First podcast. Remember, leave us a review and tell us what you think. Subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts and catch us on FS1 Monday through Friday, 6:30 a.m. Eastern.